Welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. It is the international break and a little bit of calm following a mad week prior to the break. Tom, are you well? Are you enjoying the week without football? International football is not the same, although Wales have just gone one up against Latvia, so we're happy with that. But it's quite nice. I've quite enjoyed it this weekend, though it was far, far too hot for my complexion, let's put it that way.
Yeah, too hot. Too hot, sweating like a pig in a butcher's. Like, just
it is far too hot.
And you know what? Like, you know, we ended the football on a very high note. So, you know, kind of keen for that to come back. The international football is not the same. The Rugby World Cup started, but it's, you know, different shaped ball, weird shaped ball in it and all that. So, I'm all right. But let's have a bit of rain and let's get some misery back.
Get the football season well and truly back, of course. But good for barbecues, not so good for football. My daughter had football practice actually on Sunday morning, and she it was a bit too warm for football. So, we had enough of the heat at Chelsea away the week before. I think I've still got a little bit of heat stroke from that one, being in that bottom right hand corner. But I think we don't normally do a pod, do we, during international break? But I think there's so much to get through post the Chelsea game and obviously the end of the winter. We kind of just wanted a little bit of a time for reflection, I suppose, and just reflect on, I suppose, some of the ambitions for the season now and look at obviously this next block of games. We'll come on to talk about Burnley as well in a minute, and specifically around the next four games in the run-up to the next international break. But really, I wanted to start off where we left off last time round, and now the dust has settled, really look at what Forest aspirations are, what the ambitions are for the season. I think before we started the season for our pre-season preview, obviously we put a poll out, didn't we, just to try and work out where the fan base were in terms of where everyone's feelings were. Obviously early in the window, Forest only signed two or three players at that point when we put that poll out. And it was interesting, so as the results that came back, I mean, 67% of people thought that we'd come in that 15th to 17th bracket. 9% of people at that point said bottom three. There has obviously been a huge shift in terms of opinion, and obviously that's been predicated on what we've seen in the transfer window, but also the start of the season. You know, the first four games that we've had, Forest have looked really good, really strong. 6 points from those four games off what was a nightmare start. Obviously, we asked that same question, didn't we, at the weekend in terms of where now do people think that Forest will finish. Weirdly, the same percentage number came back, and it's not rigged. This was just what came back. 67% of people now think Forest will finish 11th to 14th. 0% now say bottom three. And interestingly, the bookmakers are backing this up, suggesting that Forest will finish in around about 13th place. What do you make of that, Tom? Do you think that's a fair reflection of where Forest are now and where Forest should be aiming for, given what we've seen in the window and the start of the season?
Yeah, I think I'm not surprised that the percentages have got higher towards a higher place. I mean, I think the last time we were on this podcast, I said 14th, 15th, 14th, 13th, 12th, I don't know. I'm still perplexed by the whole situation. Yeah. I'm still perplexed by it. I think I was still bamboozled from the whole experience at Stamford Bridge, if I'm honest. I was a bit delusional, wasn't I? I think you know, off of such a high and really the transfer window, obviously there is going to be probably a little bit more expectation and a little bit more excitement around the place. It doesn't surprise me at all. And I think obviously what I said before is that we wanted to see, I was quite happy with steady progression as such, but that we wanted to see maybe a little bit more in terms of that progression point, but also that we've got to be a little bit wary in terms of the fact it's still a strong league, and it still is, you know, there is still really good teams that we've got to play in, even in and around that area of the league. But I'm not surprised that the numbers have got high, and I'm not surprised that that we're probably looking more around that area than probably the area we were before, which was maybe just a place above where we were last season.
It's quite an upturn, really, in terms of certainly you can't read too much into the bookmakers' odds, because I'm not sure at this point last season, many of the bookmakers would have predicted the three that went down last season to go down. But it's a good barometer, right, in terms of the progress that Forest have been making. Even around that first game of the season after playing Arsenal, Forest were still fancied at third favourite, so inside that bottom three at that point. So they'd surge up the betting odds. It's probably a reflection of other teams' performances around us, right, in terms of the likes of your Wolves, your Evertons, etc. Maybe even perhaps a Fulham. So Forest have definitely progressed whilst others have maybe dropped backwards. But it has been quite a surge. And I think what we saw in that last week of the window, or certainly the last 24 hours of the window, has definitely probably just reaffirmed where Forest are in terms of how Forest should be setting up and looking at this season. I think for you, you touched on there in terms of, I suppose, consolidating in the league, making progress, baby steps, I suppose, to an extent. What is a realistic expectation for Forest this season? And I suppose the million-dollar question is, and I suppose it depends what slant you put on this, would finishing in that 11th to 14th bracket represent success?
11th to 14th would be a success, yeah. Yeah, I think it would. I think, look, there's a lot of excitement, and obviously the aim is to finish as high as you can. But the 11th to 14th place, I mean, again, these players that have been brought in have got to gel within the squad. We've said before that there's a good spine there and a little bit more consistency to this squad this season than there was last season. And so, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time maybe to see those definite improvements, if you like. But I think 11th to 14th, getting in and around that mix and being well away from the relegation by the end of the season would represent a success.
I suppose, I think for me, the most important thing is fans remain impatient, because I think we all got really excited with the transfer business. And I think there's been a lot of talk online, you know, on the socials, etc., about, you know, Forest finishing, pushing towards that top 10 and being comfortably away from relegation. It's not going to just flick a switch overnight, is it? There's going to be plenty of, like you said there, it's going to be patience around gelling those players that came in, you know, 8 players in the last 24 hours of the window. That's going to take time to bed in. And I think as Forest progress through the season, similar to last season in reality, Forest are going to get better. I think the base that Forest are coming off now is a hell of a lot better, obviously, than what it was this time last year. But it's still going to be require an element of patience. And I don't think, you know, we'll talk about the Burnley lineup in a minute, but I don't think we're going to see all of those players integrated, obviously, straight away. Some are for the short term, some are probably a little bit more long term in terms of the youngsters that Forest brought in over that window. But it is going to require a level of patience. They're not going to be able to flick a switch and start playing like Brazil overnight, despite the amount of Brazilians that Forest obviously have in the team. And I think fans will remain patient. I think we saw a little bit at the start of the season, even the reaction to that Burnley Cup defeat. You know, there's a little bit of murmurs of you know, people wanting more really quickly. I think in the main, though, the fans here are really understanding, and they know that Forest is still on that journey. I suppose, you know, whilst it's a case of the fans need to remain patient, does the owner need to remain a little bit patient as well? Because the owner's ambition is phenomenal. He, without a doubt, one of the reasons Forest are in this position now is because of his ambitions, the way that he backs manager upon manager upon manager. You know, we talk about the turnover of players that Forest have gone through, but the quality of the squad that Forest now have and that Steve Cooper has got at his disposal is down to the fact that Marinakis puts his money where his mouth is. And the statement, obviously, the statement that he made after the transfer window, after the Chelsea game, was phenomenal. But does that ramp a little bit of extra pressure on everything as well? I think he obviously means well from those statements, but he's not someone who, you know, he doesn't settle for second best, does he, Marinakis? And I think that would be one this year in terms of, I suppose, there's two things. What's our expectations versus what's the owner's expectations?
Yeah, he's very ambitious. We've seen it before in terms of putting on the pressure. And I think with the added investment, that will add, and that will increase pressure quite naturally. I think Steve Cooper probably expects that. He would have wanted the players that he's got, and therefore, you know, he's got to expect that maybe that will ramp up the pressure. I think Marinakis last season maybe potentially expected a little bit more at first, especially within that first half of the season for the investment they had. But the circumstances and the context around what Forest had to go through and what they had to do, hopefully that made him realise, actually, I think by the time we got towards the end of the season, he did realise, well, actually, yeah, you know, we've had to stick by it and we've had to go through what we've had to go through this season. But I think he will be expecting a little bit more this year. And I think that is something that will increase and add to the pressure. I mean, it's now up to Steve Cooper to kind of deal with that, the players to deal with that as well. And I think there also has to be a level of understanding of you know, what is created around the club at the moment, and that stability, both from a certain core group of players, but also the coaching staff and the coach, will mean that the new players, it'll be easier to bed them in, you know. So there'll be different things and a different way of looking at things. His statement that he put out even mentions specifically about it'll take time for some of these players to bed in. So maybe there is a realisation there, or maybe there has been a conversation that, look, really happy that we've signed these players and there will be improvement, but you're just going to have to wait a little bit just to see that. And maybe that's a bit of a tempering of the fan base as well, in terms of, you know, if certain players aren't dropped in straight away, it's not as a result of the quality of the player. It's to do with bedding these players in the best that we can to make sure we get the most out of them when they are thrown in, when they are needed, and when they do start. So it's an interesting one. And I think, you know, I liked the Athletic's headline calling it kind of Cooper 3.0. But I think it's going to be a little bit of time till we see that. And obviously, we're going to come into it a little bit more in terms of what that means and the flexibility of the team. But I think we just have to wait for it all to come to fruition a little bit, kind of like last season where it took a little bit of time. It will take a little bit of time maybe to see that obvious improvement this year as well.
I think his statement got it nailed on. I think the tone of his statement, what he talked about in his statement in terms of the players, the fans, the job that everyone has done at the football club over the last 18 months or 2 years, I think ambition is right. You know, you can't fault his ambition. You know, look at where Forest have been as a club for far too long now. He really has changed that alongside, obviously, Steve Cooper. And I think maybe sometimes the ambition just sits maybe uneasy with fans of Forest just because what we've gone through over the last 20 odd years. So you've got to welcome it. It's what drives you forward, having that vision, having that ambition to make it happen. As we say, he's definitely put his money where his mouth is, and he backs himself to be a success. And for me, it's just, it's exciting. I'm excited to see what this season holds. I'm excited to see what the next few years under Marinakis holds. But it's hard to think that, you know, we were only 2 years ago, Tom. It's 2 years this week since that Middlesbrough home game, Chris Hughton's last game. Little did we know how much was about to change over this two-year period. You know, we've talked at length, haven't we, in terms of, I remember me and you driving back, you know, away from the City Ground that night, really beleaguered and really wondering what that season had to hold, and probably a little bit, well, not a little bit, a lot fearful in terms of how that season would pan out. And ultimately, Forest flipped it and got promoted this year. And the Cooper effect plus the Marinakis backing has been a recipe for success. And I've seen a lot of, not arguments as such, but a lot of heated debate online in certain spaces about Cooper's got his ear despite Marinakis, or, you know, Marinakis has been the driver and Cooper's just kind of, you know, a passenger, if you like. It's definitely a combination of the two, isn't it, in terms of them both really complementing each other really well. Because I think one's ambition and Cooper being able to pull that together. I saw a couple of national journalists talk about it in the last week as well, talking about how, well, it was Darren Fletcher, so was it? He talked about how many managers would have been just not fancied what Steve Cooper's had to deal with. He just gets on with his job and does it. And it's brilliant. And I don't think there's many managers that perhaps could have navigated Forest through that amount of change last season. But also, there's not many owners that would have facilitated or even dreamt up that amount of change. You know, Forest now to what Forest were 2 years ago, other than the badge and the coloured shirts, it's a very different playing squad and club entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think without the backing, look, you can criticise Marinakis for multiple things or have doubts about it. But the one thing you can't criticise is the backing. And without that backing, Forest probably wouldn't be in the Premier League right now. And we probably wouldn't be sat here trying to talk about aiming higher for mid-table. There'd be owners that would maybe accept we've had a bit of fun and we'll try and do what we can and high possibilities that you might get relegated. But alongside that, you need a coach that has done what Cooper's done. I mean, think about the many, many managers that we had pre-Steve Cooper. And I think also, like managers that fell out with Marinakis, Karanka being one that I know we all had high expectations for when he was first appointed. And he didn't necessarily do an awful job, but, he didn't like what was happening behind the scenes, and so did many others. And there was many others that come out and said that they wouldn't want to deal with that kind of high pressure. And I think at the time that was right. I think the criticism was fair, and I think it was worthy. But I think, sometimes a mismatched pair of Marinakis and Cooper does kind of bring the best out of him. And I think it brings the best out of Cooper in some respects as well, because I think Marinakis is always pushing him to be better. Cooper's is ambitious himself, and he's a brilliant young coach, but also at the same time you've got Marinakis pushing him, and sometimes that's what you need. And I think they're a good pairing together. Undoubtedly, I'm sure there's been many nights where Steve Cooper's been pulling his hair out, what's left of it, and been having a late night McDonald's or Frankie's and Benny's. And maybe a jug of Angel Delight afterwards, thinking about what he's been doing or what's he doing at the circus. But also at the same time, I think he loves it at the club. I think Marinakis actually, to be fair, maybe over this last year and a half, 2 years, has grown even fonder of the club. It helps when you've had a promotion and you're in the Premier League and obviously, the atmosphere it's high, but also at the same time, I think it's glaringly obvious that there is something more building there. And I think the two of them together, it's like apple crumble, no, rhubarb crumble. I don't even like apple crumble and custard. You need them together. Do you know what I mean? It's not the other.
Boys' mouth food, innit? I think there's probably a mutual respect there, right, as well. I think let's not deny that Marinakis last season, a couple of times in the season, was very much close to pulling the trigger. I think there's probably an element there where Marinakis respects Cooper for the job that he did, for sticking at it and for being able to change and adapt as a coach and as a person. Because, Steve Cooper did have to adapt his approach last season, and he's talked at length this season about wanting to go back to what he knows. But I think he got the job done. The job last season was about, whether the owner likes it or not. The job last season was about keeping Forest in the Premier League, and this season is about Forest moving on and being able to kick up the table and consolidate. So I think there's one thing you can't say. Well, one thing that you have to say is that, going back to the reference to the Middlesbrough game, the transformation of this football club over the last 2 years, 24 months, is just unlike any other club in the country. Our challenge is to find another club that's gone through as much of a transformation in that period as Forest have. The squad obviously bears zero resemblance, bar a couple of players, or three players rather, versus what it did at the end of the summer window 2 years ago. And there's a couple of players in the squad that really, I suppose, show the significance of that summer rebuild. I think if you look at the midfield in particular, we've always said, we've been doing this podcast now for 4 years, we've always said that the midfield is an area for Forest where they've always needed a bit more. It's always not been, where it should be. If you look at that midfield in the promotion season, so if you go on a Colback, Yates, Cafu, Ajayi, Fornar, even last season when with all the recruitment and the summer drive that Forest had, Euphoria, Lamangala, Yates, O'Brien, Koyate, Colback, it's okay. It's a good Premier League midfield. But this year it's taken up another notch, hasn't it, in terms of, Sangare, Dominguez, Danilo, Yates, Santos, Mangala. And I think that area of the pitch, more than any other, just shows the transformation that Forest have gone through now in those, those two, three summer windows. It's absolutely phenomenal. In terms of the 25-man squad, good competition in all areas, pace, power, athleticism, obviously, is everything that Steve Cooper was going for. after the hype of the window, and obviously last time that we spoke about it on the pod, we've had a chance to digest, and obviously the 25-man squad still hasn't been named yet. We've got a reasonably good idea of who will be in it, but is it a rounded squad for you? Are there any areas of the pitch that you think you're concerned about? Because I look at most of the areas and you would go, Forest are well covered, got multiple options, you got different options for different games, different moments in certain matches. It feels like a really good rounded squad. There isn't a particular area of the pitch that I'm really concerned about at this point.
No, I think the thing that I look at this year's squad in comparison to last year's in particular, and even comparing it to the season before, is that it's a lot more balanced. Like, you picked out midfield, which, you know, rightly, I think, like, your fullbacks in particular, there's a lot more strength in depth there, which I think is such a key area for Steve Cooper, and the way that his team's playing, regardless of whether you're playing the back five or whether you're playing the fullbacks, they are expected to probably do a lot of work in terms of, I suppose that's natural in terms of modern day football, in terms of what we expect from fullbacks in terms of their attacking front and how good they are defensively. I mean, you hear it every single ruddy day in terms of like Trent and comparison to Reece James and what's not. And obviously I'm not talking that level, but you know, the fullback area looks a lot more strong. And yeah, so there isn't really the pitch that I look at and go, that's particularly weak. When I look at last year, I felt like maybe in terms of balance, it was a little bit top heavy in certain areas, back heavy, if you like, and a little bit mishmashy in terms of the team. And that was really, again, due to the circumstance and what we had and what we needed to do and how things panned out probably in the window. And then you look at the season before, I mean, the change in terms of squad, you've only got a few players who are still here from 2 years ago in terms of the end of that transfer window, in terms of Worrell, McKenna, Yates and Horvath, I suppose, if he was to be in the squad. So there's been a huge monumental change. Changes that you probably don't see at any other club, and naturally that will have some knock-on effect in terms of what you do in the seasons and how you play, and again, that's, you know, you've got to take your cap off, which I'm not wearing, to Steve Cooper for being able to do that and deal with that change, because I don't think there'd be many managers that could deal with that.
What I like about it as well is the players, the type of player in terms of the attributes that Forest have gone for, but also the age of players that Forest have gone for. It feels like a much younger, youthful squad. Now, I will caveat in terms of this stat I'm about to throw out there. I have left out Kouyaté from the squad for the time being, and obviously his inclusion would bring up the average age a touch. But I've worked out the average age is circa, 25.8, so call it 26, feels like a much more youthful squad than what Forest had, last season, certainly towards the back end of last season. So again, that fits in terms of the players that Forest have come in. Yes, a number of them are loans with potential future permanent transfers attached, but it feels like what Forest have gone for certain attributes, they've also gone for a bit of long-term planning here as well. While still giving themselves the flexibility and the freedom to get out of certain arrangements if it doesn't quite work out for them. So they've got that ability to reassess as well next summer. So I think it has been clever. I think you can say they've got plenty of flexibility. They can change depending on the opposition. They can change in-game, multiple formations. That's what's going to take the time to develop in terms of getting the players to develop that understanding and the way that Cooper wants to perhaps do things and set up the system. But I think we'll see Forest be a little bit more fluid than they were last season. They were very rigid last season. Obviously, they had to go back to basics just to start picking up points to get them, out of trouble, if you like, last season. This season, it might be a little bit more front-footed. I don't think they're going to turn into prime Barcelona overnight. But, they weren't prime Barcelona in the Championship, right, when we got promoted, but they were still a way of playing and understanding an identity and a front-footedness. And I think you'll get a lot more of that from Forest this season. I suppose when you look at Forest squad on paper, and the game's not played on paper, right, and we've been in, we've probably had this conversation so many times over the last recent years in terms of how good could this squad be. But I suppose if we're looking at breaking into that mid-table Premier League part of the league, how do you reckon this squad stacks up to the likes of your Brentfords, your West Hams, your Palace? Because they're the teams that Forest are now ultimately going to be competing with to get into that, I suppose, middle third of the Premier League table.
Yeah, I suppose in terms of the quality of the player that they've brought in on paper at this point, you know, they've got a good squad in terms of, I mean, West Ham start the season brilliantly.
Really well,
And they've improved their squad with a couple of really good players. But before that, I didn't see a lot in their squad. But the one thing all those teams will have that will remain the difference for Forest, and why I think you just need to be a little bit cautious in terms of how far your optimism goes. I'm very good at that. Is
you got your Champions League last week, fella?
Again, I must have been drugged. But I think, you know, the one thing they've got is consistency in terms of their experience of the Premier League. Like, for example, there's players in that West Ham squad, I'm picking on West Ham a lot here, but that West Ham squad that on paper, I mean, some of them were even linked with Forest last year, one being a former player in terms of Mikel Antonio. And it wasn't just me. There were many others that said, nah, like getting on a bit, not having his best season. And so you could see why. But the one thing they've got is because they've got that consistency of experience in the Premier League, it helps them get out of situations at times. Now, the one thing Forest have this season is they do have a core, which they didn't have last season. That core still is slightly inexperienced. They've had one season of Premier League football. But you can see they're getting better and they're learning and they're growing. We've seen it with Awoniyi being the obvious example, but even the likes of Joe Wall, Ryan Yates. So that only stands them in good stead in the long term as well. But that is the one thing that might falter him in terms of that competition and that experience that they've got. But I mean, the players that they've added, if you're good enough, it doesn't matter. You know, everyone always says about age in terms of not having experience. Well, you know, if you've come from abroad or lower leagues, but you're good enough, then you'll step up to the plate anyway. And there's certain signings that Forest have made that I think are good enough regardless. But there will be a bedding in period. But I think their squad on paper, yeah, it certainly competes against them. I think, you know, proof will be in the pudding. But I think there's a lot to come from this squad. And yeah, it certainly stacks up. I mean, you look at Brentford and they're lacking a Taiwo. You know what I mean? Because they've not got their Tony. They have our players that have stepped up at the start of this season, but how long will that last? So... Again, it's different because these teams have different pressure points and different weaknesses. There's still weaknesses in our squad, regardless of the players that we brought in. But it's a hell of a lot better and a lot more in-depth and a lot more competitive than it was last season. And I think that's why people are excited, because there's still a little bit of the unknown in terms of how they're going to step up. But, you know, there's a lot more about it and there's a lot more of get out of jail cards in this squad than there was last season.
One of the, I think one of the things I'm really pleased with now in terms of the squad, there was still speculation right last week about, because there's other windows still open around Europe. The Saudi window is obviously still open when we spoke last week. There's a little bit of concern, speculation around the futures of Serge Aurier, Willy Bolly, etc. Both of those we talked about how, you know, being solid for Forest and been really good at the start of this season and not wanting those two to go. Well, the Saudi window is now closed. Serge Aurier and Willy Bolly are still Forest players. Some talk of Forest now looking to actually extend Serge Aurier's contracts beyond the end of this season. How pleased are you that both of those two are still here? What role do you think they have throughout the remainder of the season, given, I suppose, the competition that was brought in their areas of the pitch? I think Serge Aurier was outstanding last season, and I think he will still have a huge part to play this season. Willy Bolly, perhaps slightly misappreciated, and obviously talk around a couple of centre-halves coming in and that putting his position under pressure, but absolutely outstanding at Stamford Bridge. And, you know, going back to what you were saying there about West Ham, his experience is absolutely vital at certain times this season. I'm delighted that both of those guys are still stuck around.
Yeah, it's no disrespect to both of those two in terms of players saying that fans saying that their positions might be under threat. I mean, everyone's position should now be under threat. That's the way it should be. You know, that's the way it was when Forest added some players in the Championship, and it helped. I think the thing last season was maybe there wasn't enough of that. Not a lot of obvious or decent enough threat anyway in terms of winning places of the players that were starting. It's not always just about you've got those players just in case injuries happen or suspensions happen. It's about having that pressure point there from day dot to make them better, to force themselves to have to perform every single day. So, you know, that's the same for however experienced you are, whether it's Serge Aurier or Willy Bolly and everyone else in the squad. I think the one thing with keeping those two for this season, at least, is having that consistency in terms of what happened last season. And not just that, but also the feeling and the emotion of the squad and how important last season was, and taking that emotion and taking that vibe into this season and trying to push on and having that ambition to improve this club and that emotion that you felt from the end of last season and taking that with you this season. Some of those new players, as good as they are, won't have that for Forest yet. You know, I'm not saying they never will, but they won't have that yet, because, you know, we've got to work our magic on them. You know, we've got to you know, do what we do in the stands or you know, around the city. But those players won't feel that way yet, whereas those two will. And having that consistency and experience in the squad, as you said there, in terms of Premier League experience, will be a massive help for some of those players. Willy Bolly, for example, the two centre-backs that have joined, I'm excited about both of them for slightly different reasons, and maybe one more than the other. But regardless, having someone like a Willy Bolly will help them. Having a Felipe will help them. So having experience will help the youthfulness that you've brought into the squad. And in terms of your right-back area, you know, Montiel, people say, well, he's a World Cup winner, so, you know, can Aurier help him? Yeah, 100%, because he's a World Cup winner that maybe didn't even start for Argentina anyway. But, you know, he hasn't had Premier League experience. So there may be times he might come into the squad, and that's great, but there might be times where that lack of Premier League experience makes him struggle in certain games. Maybe there'll be certain games that he plays better in. Maybe it'll be top half or bottom half. It's weird in terms of how players adjust and who they might play better against at first. So having a Serge Aurier to, again, that saying, get out of jail card, you know, that's a huge help to have. And I talk about Serge Aurier, I was a huge critic of Forest signing him when he signed, but he's stepped up and he's done well. You know, look, we haven't made this joke every single time because you're getting on a bit, but like, he's not getting any younger, but you know, he still offers something to this team. And whilst he can, you might as well keep him. I get the, you know, business side of sell him. I think I was saying that myself, to be quite honest, but there's certainly no harm in keeping him, that's for sure.
No. I mean, the consistency that you talk about there, you know, is absolutely right. So I think for those two, for another season at Forest, and maybe Serge beyond this season would definitely help. Obviously, he took the armband on occasion last season as well. So obviously, you know, Steve Cooper talks about having a group of senior leaders in that dressing room, and both of those players will be part of that. I suppose, talking of leaders in the dressing room, Joe Worrall obviously signed his contract extension for over 2 years. Sounds like Ryan Yates could be next as well. I don't think we need to really talk about the importance of those two, but because everyone knows it, and they are vital, captain, vice-captain, you know, integral really to having that kind of Forest heartbeat, if you like, in that dressing room. But to follow on from Joe Worrall's performance at Stamford Bridge, for him to be able to announce that new contract, great moment for him. Delighted. He's had some critics, hasn't he, Joe, to be fair, in the last 18 months. Struggled at times in the Premier League last year. I think he's done really well so far this season, and seems to be going from strength to strength. And as a captain and a leader, he's never been shy to speak his mind, no matter what age Joe Worrall is at. When he first came into the dressing room, he was quite outspoken about what it means to play for Forest and how some players weren't pulling their weight. Going back to bringing all these new players in, Joe Worrall's going to let them know what it means to play for Forest, isn't he? And he's an integral part of this Premier League squad now, isn't he? I'm delighted for him because he's brilliant from a Forest point of view.
Yeah, I mean, when we were putting together the graphic of Worrall through the years, I was trying to find one of that interview, actually, to see if there was a funny picture, but I couldn't find one. It was interesting at the time when he did that interview and the reaction from the fans. You know, he was obviously quite, you know, he's still you know, a decent age, like, but he was quite young then. I think that outspoken interview some people took it brilliantly and some people took it as all, stay in your lane, sunshine at that time. But I think the thing is with Worrell and Yates, we talk there about having a core and consistency. We talk about Aurier and Bolly in terms of Premier League experience. I think Worrell and Yates goes back to what I was also saying before in terms of, Aurier and Bolly knowing the emotion of last season. Well, Worrell and Yates know the emotion of this club for a very, very long time and know how important it is. So even when you get players who are of, a high standard, it's important to have people in there that have that kind of that energy of the club, that aura of the club that comes about them, even regardless of how they might play on a match day sometimes. And Worrell, as you say, stepped up brilliantly well, I think, so far this season. And there will come criticism for him again at some point, I'm sure, because it's the Premier League and you can have an off day or an off period. And the same goes for Ryan Yates. There will always be their critics for whatever reason it might be, including myself at times. But you can't doubt what they bring in terms of to the wider dressing room and what it means to them and what they can bring to maybe the nature of what goes on behind the scenes at the club. So to keep that consistency there, I think, is so, so important. And we talk about representative Forest, what that means, and some of the statements and some of the comments in Marinakis's statement, and Cooper even comes out and says stuff. But, that having that kind of, that aura of the club in your dressing room is invaluable, I think. Brilliant that Worrell's definitely had an extension, and hopefully Yates is on the way.
Right, let's talk about football. We've had enough talking about the squad and what might be and ambitions for the season. We knew that obviously Forest had a tough start to the season. We've talked about it already this evening, haven't we? I mean, in terms of what's next, I suppose if you break it down to the next four games before the international break, we've still got City away on the horizon. But is the next block of games a chance to pick up points? We've got obviously Burnley home, City away, Brentford home, and Palace, 6 points after four games. How many are you looking for out of those four? What would represent a good start after eight?
Yeah, I mean, this next run of games has a slightly feeling to it. I think we all had eyes on that first four, especially because three of them on paper were so, so tough, and they were tough. Forest stepped up to the challenge, well, in terms of the performances that they put in, even in the two defeats. And obviously we're able to kind of, grind out the win at home to Sheffield United and put in a good performance at Stamford Bridge. The next four represent a slightly different perspective of what this league can bring. Burnley, again, is probably one that on paper you're looking to win.
You're going for 12 points then, yeah? That's what you're telling me.
Even a more positive Tom Denman looks at that City game and goes, that might be bloody hard.
I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, I liked what's his chops on TalkSport. Simon Jordan said, he was talking about Marinakis and his ambition, and he said, something about reaching for the stars and picking up the moon or something, some absolute nonsense. But I liked the aura of what he said. You've got to aim for a win away at the Etihad, I suppose. But, I'm probably looking at you've got to try and pick up wins in your two home games, albeit Brentford and Palace have started off well as well. Let's not deny that for a second. It's weird what sometimes happens after this first international break, though. You kind of go through this first run of games and teams are either just in a headspace one way or another, and then things can shift. So I think you've got to be aiming to pick up wins in your two home games. And then what happens at that Palace game will be a really interesting one, because we're talking about Palace as a club that we want to be kind of, competing with, as a club that have been up, in the Premier League now for some time. So, I mean, I would like to think that Forest could get a draw. So you could aim for seven.
I think seven is a good shout. I had seven written down, to be honest, and that might feel overly ambitious. There's still some, let's not, you are right in what you say in terms of, let's not underestimate any side in the Premier League, but certainly Brentford and Palace alongside City, they are really difficult games at this level. We saw what, but saying that, Forest should have beaten Brentford last year at home. Should have got something from them away. Let's not talk about that. Palace, I think, are really interesting this season. But, you know, going to Selhurst Park, R5 on that Saturday, I fancy for it. I think that'll be a really good game, actually. I think Forest at Palace will be really good. But it is. I think 7 points is a good aim. If you're on 13 points after the opening 8 games, you're kind of well set, aren't you, in terms of being along the way in terms of what we're trying to get out of it. I mean, let's talk about Burnley, you know, first in terms of that block of four. Obviously, we've already played Burnley at the City Ground once this season in the League Cup defeat. It's fair to say that was not a classic. I think it's probably fair to say that game won't be a reflection of, and I'm going to jinx it now, aren't I, but the level of that game, what we saw in that game, probably won't be a reflection of what we see next week, next Monday, when we do that, when we play them. I think you'll definitely have a different feel about it. Forest will probably set up with obviously a much stronger side and in a different way. I mean, what do you make of Burnley so far this season in the league? We, like I say, let's not judge them by that game at the City Ground, but in terms of Burnley in the league, they strike me, and I think we said this last time, they strike me as having similar issues to Forest this time last year. You look at the highlights of that Spurs game, albeit Spurs are flying under Ange at the minute, but if you look at the highlights of Burnley at home to Spurs, they love trying to pass it out from the back, don't they? They've played themselves into so many problems against Tottenham. And it almost feels, and we talked about, and you were very harsh on Burnley coming into the season, but, you know, not to blow too much smoke, but you might have had a point. But do you think, we thought they might struggle, in terms of Vincent Kompany might struggle to be able to play his way in the Premier League, and whether he'd have the ability to adapt. I suppose we're about to find out, right, over the next few weeks. But it certainly, if Forest get at Burnley and get that press right, and it's going to be a balancing act in terms of how high up the pitch do they press them, because Burnley still do have the ability to be able to pass the ball quite well. But if Forest can get the front foot and press them and put Burnley under pressure, they've not coped with that well, have they?
No, I mean, we've got to have some perspective, because two of those three defeats have been Man City and Spurs. City team, well, I don't need to say anything else, Man City team. And then Spurs, who I think, you know, are a new team. You know, there's weaknesses there. I don't think they'll be right up there at the end of the season, but I think at least there's a more positive vibe around that team at the moment, because the fans can appreciate the job that he's having to do and what he's trying to do. So, you know, they've had a difficult start to the season. So from that perspective, you can say it can only get better. But Burnley have made 16 signings as well in the summer transfer window, I believe. I might get called out for being wrong.
14, I think, somewhere around that point.
Yeah, I counted 16, but, you know, that says a lot about me, maybe. But, you know, we're talking about them having some similarities to Forest. Well, again, we all know that the season started very difficult for Forest because of the amount of signings they brought in that window, which had to happen. But the similarities there are deafening in some respects. And I don't believe that the signings they've brought in are, you know, not all of them have the experience of the Premier League. They don't have the nous of it. So they don't even have that to help them out. In some respects, I mean, Forest started off the season, you know, let's be frank, you know, poorly last season, but that was to be expected in some respects because of what happened. So it's going to be interesting, because now they've had an international break. I can remember having the international break last year and kind of thinking, right, you know, we'll come out of it stronger. It took a lot longer than just one international break, because it does. And yeah, as you say, the one thing with Burnley is there's a little bit of naivety there for me. I felt they will continue to play that way. You know, they absolutely will. It's been bigged up all summer, and they've even had the nice own little Sky documentary, Wrexham-style documentary about them, which, to be fair, I watched the whole thing. But you know, it's really interesting what's been happening there. So they will continue to play that way, but that will be their downfall in a lot of games this season, unless Vincent Kompany doesn't change the way that they approach games in certain games. I think this game, I think our fans won't like it, but they will have a lot of the possession. on Monday. Yeah. They absolutely will. And there's not that's not necessarily the wrong thing too. People go, well, if your team's improved that much, then why should you allow Burnley to have more of the ball? But we saw it when, you know, I keep comparing it to promotion seasons when I'm talking about stuff, but I can remember when Swansea came to the City Ground and Forest were way better than Swansea that season under Cooper after a little bit. And they annihilated them at home in the end. Swansea had so much of the ball from what I remember of that game, even in the away game as well. And they just let them have it and they didn't do anything and Forest just did their thing. I could see a similar thing happening on Monday. Like in terms of the way that Burnley was set up, it'll be really interesting. Maybe they'll learn their lesson. It'll be a very different game to the FA Cup game, albeit, you know, I think Burnley had a fair bit of the ball then as well. I think you'll see a similar thing. People won't like it, but then it's how will this group of players respond to that? Because it's funny, isn't it? When you do well against a possession team, it doesn't feel like they've had as much of the ball as probably the stats will show at the end of the game. But when you lose to a possession team, it's a long old afternoon.
Yeah, you're right. This is Burnley's first away game in the Premier League as well. It's not that, you know, they're free games. Obviously, their away game away at Luton was called off because Luton couldn't play. So they've had three home games, three defeats. So a bit of pressure coming away from home. But then that might be a counter for them, right? It might be a little bit of a spring in a step. It'll be interesting. I was going to ask you about how Steve Cooper approaches this one after that Chelsea win, but I think you're probably right. I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of change. I think Forest are a counter-attacking team. We've got to get used to that. I don't think that changes because I really don't think that changes. I think it's about Forest getting maybe hold of the ball quicker in midfield, which is why you've got Sangare in. I think Dominguez has been described as one of the best pressing midfielders in Europe. He's been brought in to play the Steve Cooper way of playing. Ryan Yates does that job very well as well. Forest spring on the attack. He gives White. You've got Olanga's pace, Wanyu's pace. It isn't going to change. This is the game plan. Forest have to get used to it. But it's been the game plan under Steve Cooper now for 2 years. So no one should really be surprised. It's just they obviously did it better in the Championship than they did in the Premier League because Forest struggled against quality opposition last year. So I don't think it changes, right?
No, I don't think it does because I think that'll always be, you know, you might ask me about formation in a moment and I've seen this debate and people going, well, now surely you'll revert to this. I think you'll keep it. But it's interesting because, again, I think in the last podcast I was comparing us to Man City and I'm not that optimistic. But you know, the one thing, I just find it really interesting because I think there was a quote from Pep Guardiola that said, well, now when I'm in a game and I'm talking about tactics, I'm actually putting out about 40 different formations in a 90-minute match. Now, he's probably being a little bit over the top with that because he's probably talking about it's a change of formation if someone stops somewhere to tie their shoelace. So, you know, we're going to be a little bit questionable of that. But I think obviously what he's saying is throughout that whole game, they will change shape depending on X, Y, Z. And I think that'll be the same with Forest. It might come out and they might, you know, shape their squad as a back five. But actually what you'll find is maybe someone will drop more forward in certain moments. You know, Sangare can play centre-back. Maybe he'll drop a little bit deeper in certain situations. So maybe it will look like a back four in some cases. But when they're not on the ball, it becomes a back five. And there'll be different players that do different jobs. I think, you know, Cooper's even come out and said it in terms of the flexibility that they now have within that squad and players that can play different formations and have different qualities, that will be what that brings. And I think, you know, you talked there about us always being a counter-attack team. I think that will always be our reputation and I think that will be where a lot of our success comes from. But actually, I always go back to that Derby game in the Championship and we started off actually, I think, looking to counter-attack them constantly. And I can remember Steve Cooper making a change. I think we were playing Yates at centre-back or something at the start and then we moved him in central midfield. I always look back at that. I didn't feel like he had the confidence to do something like that last season because I just don't feel like he had the flexibility that he wanted within that squad and the depth that he wanted. But I always look back at that game and he said afterwards, well, actually, I thought Derby were going to press us a little bit more than what they did. I thought they were going to come at us a little bit more. So when they weren't, I changed it. So actually we ended up having we were shaped to have a team that had more of the ball and could be a lot more effective with it because that's what was happening. And I think that's what will happen this season. He might shape it up to be a counter-attacker team versus Burnley, but actually maybe I'm sat here being naive because as you say, this is their first away game in the Premier League. Maybe they will change it up because of the three defeats and maybe they won't maybe they won't be possession. Maybe they'll expect Forest to have a bit more of the ball because they know Forest is counter-attacking. But now they should have the players to be able to mix it up so they're not just the counter-attacking team. They are a bit more of other things and other strengths within their team. So I think that'll be the interesting thing with the new players and how they gel in and how he deals with that and the questions he's got around who plays, because you should see shifts throughout a whole game all the time. It won't just be counter-attack and it won't just be he's playing a five at the back. It should be you see these little tweaks throughout.
Do you envisage too many changes to the side? It's hard, right? He's obviously brought a load of players in, but they've just won away at Stamford Bridge. First away winning in a very long time, obviously since January. Do you see many of the new ones coming in? I think for me, I can only... depends on injuries. Obviously, on international duty, a couple of players have picked up slight knocks, etc. Obviously, question marks over Danilo. The only one I can see really coming in terms of the new boys would be Sangare in midfield. I think if he's that good, he goes straight in. I know you differ on that, and obviously you've got an opinion on that. But I think for me, he's probably the only one. I don't think you change your back three. If he plays with a back three, I think your wing backs, if they're up to it and they're not injured, they start. So Tyro up top starts. Potentially Alanga in if he's not too bad after he's picked up a knock, obviously, for Sweden. But I think all being well, I think it's probably only Sangare comes in.
Yeah, I'm kind of differing on my opinion on Sangare. I'm going here, there and bloody everywhere.
I hope he does.
Well, you know, you've got to think the bloke has barely breathed any Nottingham air apart from getting blinded by a light show at the City Ground. He was probably perplexed about where he was, bless him. Probably thought he'd been kidnapped. So, you know, he's barely had time to settle in. He signed for Forest and he's gone, you know, out on international duty with the Ivory Coast. And you've got to think about these things. Yeah, you know, good players can just, you know, go on international duty, come back and play their game and whatever. I just wonder whether that will play on Steve Cooper's mind a little bit. He is the kind of, I suppose, big marketing signing, if you like. So maybe that will play a factor in some shape or form. But I'm not sure he'll throw in as many of these new players as people think. He's one that I'm 50-50 on because of what I just said, but I don't think you'll see the whole scale changes. And again, that might annoy some people, like that people go, why sign them if you're not going to play them? But Cooper's very much a man of bedding people in over a period of time. And I think that's the right thing to do in a lot of cases. I mean, I wouldn't like to think that maybe some of their first games will be Man City away, because that could be a bit of a shock to the confidence. But I think he will bed them in over a period of time, a lot of them. So I don't expect to see loads of changes. And also, he's not used this saying for a long time, because maybe he's not been able to. But, you know, it's always about you keeping the shirt. You know, until you lose the shirt, you lose the shirt. You know, question mark over Matt Turner potentially this weekend with the potential birth of his new child. He's obviously been away in America and come back. Well, I think he's flown to St. Louis or something in America. I'm not sure what's exactly occurring there, but you know, that's an interesting one to keep an eye out on. So yeah, I can only see small changes, and they'll all be based on what's happened in the international break and how quickly some of these players have bedded in. Some of these new players have had the international break to bed in, so that might help some of their cases. But it'll be a really interesting one. And do you know what? It's a really good thing, because we do the predicted team sheets. And I'll be honest, it's got a lot harder. It's got a lot harder now. It's not as obvious.
I think we'll hold on to this week's until probably Sunday, shall we? We'll mull over this again for a few more days. But give us a score prediction for this one then.
I'm going to say the confidence and the positive vibe continues. I'm going to go 3-1 Forest.
Oh, I'm going to go 2-0. I think I fancy a clean sheet. I think Forest will win. I think it'd be a good game. I do think it'll be a good game, but I fancy Forest to be too strong on this one. But yeah, I suppose a lot will depend on the team. I've going back to what we were saying, I say I think it'll be fairly consistent from Chelsea. I think it'd be really harsh to drop any of that team from Chelsea. You know, injuries will probably allow a couple of changes within it, and it'll be interesting to see how he shapes it up. But I think Forest will have enough. I think Tyro, I think in the right areas, Forest is showing some really good form this season. I think I fancy Tyro to score again on Monday night. So I'm looking forward to this one. Let's end it on a guess. Obviously, we didn't do one last week because no game. But obviously, we've got a nice, tedious link back to Burnley. This one is really nice and easy. Everyone should get this probably within the first two lines. So four clues. This player joined Forest from Burnley in the summer of 2003. Made 90 appearances for Forest, scoring 19 goals. Has 15 caps for Wales, scoring just once against Scotland in 2004. I think we're at that one. And he's currently the head coach of Manchester City Women. Who is that? Let us know on socials. I reckon that's an absolute doddle. Thanks for listening. As always, if you can give us a follow on Spotify, Apple, leave a review, it really does help. We had an absolutely phenomenal week last week. So thank you to everyone who listened last week, who's listening now. It really does mean a lot that the numbers have been great this season. It's fantastic. If you want to drop us an email, get in contact with anything, you can get us at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com. You can obviously always follow us on Twitter as well, or X rather, @timeaddedonpod. Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. We don't normally do these international break pods, but I feel like when we set up to do this pod, we said it'd only be about 25 minutes, half an hour. We've rambled on for almost an hour. So it's been an absolute pleasure. And we are at the City Ground on Monday night. I cannot wait. We've just put the solid 2 days off work for this one. So nothing beats a Monday night Burnley at home under the lights. So looking forward to it. But go well. Thank you, everyone listened. Let's hope for 3 points on Monday. Come on, you Reds.